This is an extension to the February 5th, 2010 oral history interview for the George J. Mitchell Oral History Project at Bowdoin College with Heather Mitchell. Today is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2010, and today we're talking by phone. Heather is in New York City, and I, Brian Williams, am in Washington, D.C. A little bit of bookkeeping here. I need for you to tell me that you understand that this interview is being recorded by phone, and then you give permission for its recording.
Yes, I do understand, and yes, I do give permission.
Thank you. what I realized after our former interview was we hadn't really talked much about life in Maine, and so I wanted to ask you a few questions about that. And I thought I'd start by asking you, growing up in Quebec, did you have any connections with Maine?
I did. We went to Old Orchard Beach when I was a child. Fair amount. I don't remember exactly how many trips we made, but I was quite young, and I think we went every year or every other year to the beach. It was kind of the closest sandy beach to Montreal, believe it or not. I remember the cold water very well, but I never ventured any further west in the state.
Uh-huh.
Until, of course, I went up to Mount Desert Island for the first time with George.
Right, right. I'm going to have to pause here just for a second and just double check on the recording. So just a second, just a moment. Okay. Other than that earlier time, your next introduction to Maine was with George.
I had gone to Portland a number of times. I was involved in a, I think I had mentioned to you earlier that I was involved in a skating, a number of skating projects. And I went up to Portland for that, for a skating event or an exhibition with a number of skaters. So I remember visiting the city then and loving it. And then the next time I went, was with George, or I met him up in Mount Desert Island. He was still in the Senate, and we had agreed to meet up there. I was staying with some mutual friends, and he was still in D.C., and I was to go up a day in advance and get in a little bit of hiking. And I had my first visit to Acadia National Park and did a major hike, and then he flew up that next day, and I just I fell in love with the place.
How did he introduce you to his favorite spots and whatnot?
Well, I think he was a little bit nervous about my reaction to Maine. It was a little bit like meeting the parents for the first time, although his parents had been long deceased when we met. There comes a point in any relationship where you got to meet the parents and hope that hope that your intended is going to love the parents and vice versa. And so I think it he wanted me to love it, and he was afraid that I may not. I don't know why he thought that. I'm a Canadian girl, but I had been coming from Europe and spending all my summers in the south of France, and I don't think he. He wasn't too sure what my reaction would be. And, of course, the minute I, got to Mount Desert Island, I said, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. And as I mentioned a moment ago, I had this fabulous, fabulous marathon day-long hike. And when I saw that, the rocky coast and these just glorious mountains, I fell in love right away. So, and he knew very quickly that I, sincerely love the place, and it feels a lot like home. I was born not that far north of the border.
Right. Did he at that time own property there?
No, he would was unable to spend a lot of time there because, of course, he was in the Senate and had no time off. So his visits up there were just rather infrequent and for very short periods of time. And then after we left the Senate, after he left the Senate and we married, then we started renting a house. The first summer we rented just for a couple of weeks, and the next year a month, and then year after that the whole summer. And we rented for a number of years, and then realized that we really wanted to own a place. And started looking, and wasn't that easy to find what we wanted. And we finally were able to find a piece of land that we could build on. And we did just that. We bought land, and we built a beautiful home.
Hmm. Wonderful. And so then, how have you incorporated Maine into your lives, particularly since, well, your marriage and then with the children?
Right. Well, as I said, we spent our almost all summer in Maine right away, as soon as we were married. You know, we would spend just longer and longer periods of time in the summer. And once we built our home, which is about, I think we purchased the property 9 years ago, and the house was completed, I think we're on our sixth year now, and we spend the entire summer. The second the kids get out of school, we head to Maine, and we stay there until literally the night before they start school, just after Labor Day. So we have a really long, a good solid chunk of time where we're in Maine, and we don't just stay in on Mount Desert Island. We visit George's family in Waterville. There's a lot of family there, and one of his brothers has a lakeside camp where many of the members of the extended family meet, and the kids have the lake experience and certainly the Waterville family experience. And George's daughter is in Portland, so we're in Portland a fair amount, and we get around the state a little bit. George has taken Andrew on father and son fishing trips and Moosehead Lake, and they're kind of out and about in the state.
Do you have some particularly vivid recollections of times up there?
Oh, well, so many. I mean, I just too many to count, really. It is our home away from home, and we're all very connected to the place. It is so special, and we count the months, counting our way to Maine, like the title of the famous children's book. I mean, as soon as October sets in, we say, well, how many more months until Maine? And it's a very different life there than our New York life is during the year. Kids are in school, and we live just a very different life than our summer life. And I think that's true of everybody when they're in their summer mode. But it really feels like a throwback in time. There's never a security or a safety issue that we worry about. There's a certain amount of freedom that you don't get, obviously, in big urban areas. Just being outdoors from the second they wake up in the morning until the second they go to bed is wonderful. We have a no-screen policy in our home in Maine, so we have no television or no DVD or no screens of any kind. And it's a really nice, it's like living in another era.
Now,
we have many friends that come. We see year in and year out. They've been coming for generations themselves, and so that's really marvelous to reconnect with people every summer. It's a special time of year for us, and we spend a lot of family time together, so it's great.
Now, how does Senator Mitchell balance that time with his busy work schedule and so on?
Well, we've been very, very lucky. Going way back when he was in Northern Ireland, there were a lot of breaks in the talks, and there were a lot of breaks in the summer. We would be over there during the infamous marching season in July, but they didn't meet in August, so we were pretty. He was always free and clear in August. And then afterwards, when he was in private practice, he would work his schedule so that he would travel a great deal during the year, but he kept his summer months in Maine open so that he would take maybe one trip a month and really work out of Maine. And that would mean maybe a little bit of time on the phone, either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day. And during the day, you know, we'd be out doing things, hiking, playing tennis, swimming, so on and so forth, really enjoying Maine. And so that our summers in Maine have really been sacred family summers. These past two summers, or this past summer and this upcoming summer, will be very different because of his new role in the Middle East. So he was not in Maine nearly as much as we would have liked him last summer. And I have a sense that it'll be the same this summer. So that's been a hard adjustment for us because we're so used to having him around all summer long in Maine.
Is he different in Maine than he is in New York?
You know, I wouldn't say different. I mean, he is, you know, he is who he is, and he's but he feels, you know, he's very rooted in Maine, and I think he's much, much more relaxed because, of course, it's summer vacation mode than he is when he's working. But he's very, very, very connected to the state, and he feels very much at home there.
Does he have maintained contact with some of his support staff from Senate days?
Oh, I think so, yes. He often hears from them, you know, if there's an illness or there's been a death in the family, he'll always make a call or, you know, just get news from, you know, various former members. So, yes. And we, a big highlight of our summer is going to Bangor every summer to the scholarship brunch for the Mitchell Scholars, and that's held in the Bangor area every summer, where the recipients and their families come to a brunch where he speaks, and he sees a lot of people from his, you know, from his former staff that come and attend the event. That brunch is a real highlight for us because I think, and the children come, and it means a lot to him. He's worked very hard in this foundation, so. It's really very moving and very touching for him to come and address these kids.
Do you feel like a legitimate Mainer these days?
Well, I feel very much at home there. You know, it is, we obviously only see we're only living in a certain part of the state, and it's a summer life. I'm not quite sure how I would fare in the long, windy, cold months of February, but January, February. But you know, I did grow up in Montreal, so I know what the cold weather is all about. But I think I prefer it in the warmer months.
Anything else about Maine and your lives there?
Well, you know, I love it more and more and more. I have to say, every year it's harder and harder to leave. I have connected with another, you know, community in Bar Harbor, in, you know, the farmers market and the yoga community, and I it's so great to see these people over, you know, year in and year out. But you know, sometimes you fantasize how wonderful it would be if, you know, we could live there year-round, but maybe one day.
There's one other question I want to ask you, and this has to do with his dwelling while he was in the Senate. It's my understanding from virtually everyone I've talked to that he conducted all of his business at the Capitol, and so I don't think anyone has said anything about what was, I think, the C Street apartment. Is that correct?
I don't follow you. He when he was in the Senate, of course, he had a home in Maine, and he had an office. He had offices all over the state of Maine, and he was in Maine almost every weekend.
Right. No, I'm talking about where he was living in Washington while he was down here.
Oh, yes, he lived on, that's correct, he lived near the Capitol.
And I'm just curious, what was his bachelor pad like when you were introduced to it?
Well, he I remember when we finally we took our son, who at that time was four. He still owned the house, and we took him to D.C. and it was the first time he'd seen the house. And we said, you know, this is the house where, you know, Daddy stays when he comes to D.C. working, and where he used to live when he was, you know, in the Capitol and working. And there's the Capitol. You look out the window, and there it is. And he said, "Mommy, there's a lot of boxes around here, and there's a big hole in the ceiling." Of course, there was a skylight. He'd never seen a skylight before, so he was very worried about his father actually living in a house with a big hole in the roof. In fact, it wasn't really a hole in the roof, but he looked at it that way. You know, it was a very modest, very, very modest house that he really didn't spend much time in, and it showed, let's put it that way.
And he was the sole occupant of the house?
He was, yes.
And he owned it?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, right. Good. Well, I think you've exhausted my curiosity for today.
Well, if you think of anything else...
Well, you've been very generous with your time twice.
Yeah, by all means. Let me know.
Carol and I have enjoyed giving glowing reports of our visit to you in New York City. That was a special time for both of us.
Oh, that's sweet. And you just missed the snow.
Yes, that's right. Well, it gave us an extra day in New York.
That's good.
Good.
That's good.
All right.
Well, Brian, if you think of anything else, I'd be, happy to obviously speak again if need be.
Very good. Thanks so much, Heather.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye.